Log Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the sky!
Well, hello there. It's Annette Denshin with the Publicity Genie Show. We're up to episode 3. Really exciting. Today, I'm joined by Trish Mackie-Smith. Now, this lady is just super smart. She's got a few feathers in her cap. She's the co-founder of Building Pro, which is a building and pest inspection company, and has also been a property lawyer. And she has been on the campaign trail for the last few months to change the Queensland property laws to better protect buyers, that old buyer beware. Now, she knew that she needed the power of the media, and so she went out there with her story and her mission, and she has secured incredible media. Trish, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Annette. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Now, one of the things when you work in PR, as I do, is I work with a lot of people like you who are absolute experts in their field, and you've started your own business, so you know about those systems and processes, and you've also studied to be a lawyer, which says to me that you're a pretty smart, cheeky babe. But when it comes
Thank
to
you.
Getting... You're welcome. When it comes to getting publicity... A lot of people get stuck and think, oh, gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But you've been quite successful, haven't you? What motivated you to get media? Why did you think it was so important for what you were doing?
Well, actually, Annette, I was quite daunted. I wasn't sure what to do, really. I knew I had to get a message out there to the public. I needed to create some awareness about this campaign, and I had already started a petition, but I needed signatures. I needed people to know what I was doing, and yes, I was a bit lost. And I did call upon you, thank goodness, to give me some direction. I'm no expert in PR, and that's why I just thought, no, I can't do this all alone. I did need some help. So I called upon you, and you gave me strategy straight away. I needed to know how to get that message out quickly, and we got onto social media. That was the first step. And from there, a lot happened. So thanks, Annette. You know, the Facebook posts was the beginning. And then the media releases. I tried to write one, but it went for pages and pages. There was so much information I wanted to put down. And that wouldn't get me anywhere, because I know with journalists, they want to know up front the first three sentences. What is this about? Is it newsworthy? And is it a credible source? So I had no idea about that formula. And you, of course, were able to do those media releases for me and to get the message out there. So, yes, you may be an expert in your own field, in your business, but when it comes to PR, don't try and do it on your own, especially when it's so important.
Well, it was my pleasure to help you, but I really think I just gave you a bit of a push, and you went on and did incredible things. So let's talk about your first media interview. So I know you got some local paper coverage, but one thing that I know scares the pants off many people is being interviewed on TV. So having a camera in your face and a very professional journalist asking you lots of questions. How did you feel when you did your first news interview?
Very frightened, because I was certainly not used to having a camera on me. But I think what happened, the way it really got going, was being in the local newspaper. I think that is quite powerful. I had no idea that just being in a local newspaper can get the attention of journalists, and I think that's because I had quite a long interview with that reporter for the local newspaper. It went to some depth, that first article, and the news reporter from a major television show, she read that and contacted me, and but she said, "I'll be around in 2 hours to interview you," because she wanted it to go on that night's Channel 6 news. And I thought, oh my God, how can I prepare for this? So I really didn't have much time to think and get too nervous. I knew I had to be confident about my own knowledge about the subject matter and think, okay, she's a professional too, and it should all work out okay. However, you don't have any idea what questions they may ask. And I just quickly ran through in my head and made a few notes of what type of questions she may ask me. And I practiced that a few times before the TV crew arrived. Yeah, so that was all I could do in the time.
Well, it sounds like you did a really good job, and I watched you on the news, and you would never have known that you were frightened of what was going on. But I think something that you said there, Trish, is incredibly important for people to understand, is that you're an expert at what you do, and you know why you do it and how you do it, and you just embrace that.
Yes. Well, that's it. I thought, well, surely what she'll be asking me is something that I'll know how to answer anyway. And and it all worked. I was quite happy with how it went, and the message did get out there. So, and then from that TV show, more journalists contacted me, and it just snowballed, I guess.
That's really impressive, isn't it? So you're saying that by approaching the local paper, so in Brisbane it's Quest Newspapers, and they deliver the little paper to your driveway every week, normally every Wednesday, and in it's got local news. So just from that article, where have you appeared since?
I've been on a number of television programs since. There's another TV station wanted me on their 6 o'clock news as well, and ended up on a national A Current Affairs show further down the track. But I had to also realise that they're not necessarily interested in the same story. They want new angles, new twists. And I had to be a bit creative to make it, slightly different, because that's what Channel 9, this other TV show, said to me. We want to run with this, but is there something else that you can inform us about, because it can't be exactly the same as the other episode. So I thought that was a learning experience as well, to keep coming up with new angles, even though it's the same campaign. So yes, I've been on a number of television shows, but I've also been in print media, lots of magazines, and also you have to know your audience, I guess, and the industry that you're targeting. So this was property, and there are many property magazines out there that were interested in also publishing the story and the campaign. So, and radio. I've been on a number of radio shows now, and so yeah, I'm starting to get used to talking to the media, and it's all an amazing experience, and it's fantastic. You can harness the media to assist you in your goals, and but you've got to know how, and you do need guidance. Definitely, you can make mistakes. So,
let's talk about those mistakes. What are some of the mistakes that you think that you made? I know you said that your media release was too long, and that's a really good point, because journalists just want the facts. They just want to hit them in the face with who, what, when, where, how and why, so they can make a quick decision. What else do you think that you did wrong? I don't ever think there's any such thing as doing wrong, but mistakes do you think you made, and how did you improve on those over the last 12 months?
Well, I don't know. I think I did pretty well, actually. but I definitely did make the mistake of not getting to the point straight away in my media release that I tried to do on my own, and also approaching perhaps the wrong people, the wrong journalists who are not necessarily interested in your story, and then you think, well, why didn't they get back to me? Also, I think you need to follow up, and I learned that you do have to contact that journalist the next day is a good idea, to make sure they did get your email. I think that's also important. And to thank, you know, I always did anyway, but I'm wondering if others realise that the journalists want to be thanked for their work and acknowledged. And I always went out of my way to thank them because, you know, they're busy people, and if they've taken your story on board, I think you should be grateful for that. So I've always thanked them. What else? I don't know. I think that's my main learnings from this experience. But
that's a really good point there, Trish, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because sometimes I think people forget that journalists are people too, and
yeah,
they can seem quite intimidating and scary. You know, I remember when I worked as a journalist, and people ask me what I did for a living, and I'd say I'm a journalist, and they'd go, oh, wow, like, you know, like I was some type of celebrity. And it's like, no, it's really not as glamorous what you think it is. It's hard work. It's people yelling
yeah.
at you. It's meeting deadlines. And then to work with someone like you, who gets it, who uses her manners, who acknowledges and is grateful for the opportunity that you've been given by being able to reach, you've reached, I would say, millions of people with the media that you've received. It's nice to acknowledge and say thank you.
Yes, I think so. And one other point is it can't be seen as an advertisement for your business. I don't think journalists are interested in you big noting your own business. It has to be a genuine cause. I don't think they like people coming to them just for that reason, to promote their own business. Do you agree with that, Annette?
Oh, absolutely. And I know that when people are learning how to do their media releases, and they'll start with, you know, building pro, are pleased to announce, you know, that they're opening of their new office. And journalists aren't interested in that, unless, of course, it is local and it affects the local community. As you say, you have to understand your target audience to understand the media that you connect with. So if you're going, me, then they're going to say, oh, hang on, I'll just put you through to the advertising department.
Exactly. That's so true. Yeah, it has to be genuine. And when you are genuine, people, they appreciate that. And it's going to help your business anyway. I've found that I haven't pushed our business. I haven't necessarily even told them the name of our business. But at the end, they always mentioning it. And they will do that anyway for you. And, you know, you benefit, your business will benefit at the end of the day if your cause is genuine.
Yes, absolutely. Your cause has to be genuine, and you have to go in with the mindset of how can I help you get a good story to connect with your audience so that they keep coming back to the media outlet as well. So I think you've done a really good job of straddling that. You said before, Trish, that you went in with the angle of this is why I need to change the law, why Queensland needs to change the law. And maybe we should tell people a little bit about what your mission has been. So you have generated a petition that went on to change org about adopting better seller disclosure laws to protect home buyers. So what that means is that if you go and buy a property and you find there's damage afterwards, it's really too bad, too sad. Buyer beware. So you wanted to do what?
Well, I wanted to turn that upside down. The buyer beware law has been around since the 1500s. It's a very, very old law. It started in England to protect wealthy landowners. So it was around to assist the sellers. It's not there at all to help buyers. And in this day and age, you know, I think it's about time we have modern laws. We've got to update it. There's consumer protection for every other product and service sold out there, except when you go to buy your biggest asset, most expensive, most important asset you'll ever buy in your life, has no consumer protection because of the buyer beware. And I just think that's wrong. And not only is it unfair, I have seen dreadful cases of, you know, where the buyer has bought houses thinking that it was all safe and ending up in a financial nightmare. And not only because financially they have to rectify all the defects that the seller didn't have to tell them about, which can cost tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. Sometimes we've seen whole houses have to be bulldozed, and the buyer's got no rights at all against the seller who knew about the defects. And it can also affect people's health. I've seen children ending up with asthma and terrible lung conditions because of poor drainage that the buyer had no idea about, whereas the seller would have known. So there are some serious consequences as a result of this law, and I don't think it's right. So I got quite angry, and I thought, how come this is still going on now? And I looked at the rest of the world and other parts of Australia, And I realised that, yes, there are other parts of the world and only one place in Australia that has updated the law. So there's better seller disclosure, and that means that the buyer can have protection. So that's why I thought, well, I want to do something. I'm going to look into perhaps getting this law changed. And so I did my research, and I think having a property law background gave me confidence to look into this further. And so I put a petition together, and I contacted the local politician, state politician, about it, and got her support, and was able to get it into Parliament. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that there will be changes, but it is a long process, a long, slow, hopefully not too slow, but at least there are changes afoot, and yeah.
Did you reach your goal with the petition, Trish, using the media that you received?
Yeah, look, I was happy to have lots of signatures by the time I had a certain date that the petition in Queensland Parliament had to be tabled. So, but what had happened, it was actually extended because of the increase in interest, especially the media interest. So the minister decided to extend the time before the petition was tabled. So that was great. It meant that the media was working for me. And yes, we've certainly got adequate support now. And the Attorney General has directed our university here, the law professors, to make comment on that petition. So that was a very positive outcome. And we're hoping that there will be support from academia. And with that support, it'll be easy to pass the laws. So it is looking good, but, you know, I'm on the side of being positive. So, yes, well, I'll just keep pushing. Yeah, that's
just
my intention.
Just keep pushing. Just keep swimming, as Dory said. Just keep swimming. I think it's also important. That's what you've just said, is that you just keep going, because I find a lot of people expect instant wins with PR and getting publicity. And if they don't have something happen in the first month, they give up. But you've been working on this for 12 months. So you were seeing that there was a long-term strategy that you needed to employ.
Definitely. Also, I think having my legal background, I know there's a lot of red tape. There's a long process, and I'm prepared for that. And, you know, also there's resistance. Not everybody wants a change to these laws. It doesn't suit everybody for this change to happen. And I have to acknowledge that too, that there will be resistance, and I have had some resistance, unfortunately, but I just have to remain focused. Yeah.
Have you had any, so like one of the biggest challenges with using social media to promote a cause or a business or an idea or a concept is that you get these pesky little creatures called trolls. And they like to have a say and have an opinion on everything and can quite often be nasty. Have you had to deal with any nastiness around what it is that you're trying to do?
Yes, unfortunately. I've had to develop a thick skin. It has got personal. I've had personal attacks. And I just realised, well, it's their issue. I can't be too sensitive about what these people are saying. I think it would be it's made me realise how tough it must be to be a politician. you know, have so many people criticising, and what are they doing? It's easy to say things, but are they doing anything? You know, I think it does take courage to make a stance, and with that will come criticism. Unfortunately, I think that's just, is it tall poppy syndrome? I don't know, but it does exist.
It does exist, and you've handled it with great grace and dignity, and I think that's important. And I think too that there's a valuable lesson in that for people. So I imagine that you knew when you were starting on this journey that there would be people who would like, who want to protect their interests. You're not talking about, you know, like changing a tie. You're talking about changing an industry that has relied on this very ancient law, as you said, going back to the 1500s. So there's people who are going, hang on, this is going to cost us money. This is going to upset the apple cart.
Totally.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So you knew that. So for people who are listening and are hesitating over whether they should be speaking out about something that they feel passionate about, or even just starting the journey of PR because they're worried about being pulled down and people, you know, that talking syndrome, what would you say to them?
Well, just realise that you have to just focus on what you're doing and know that what you're doing is right and ethical, or whatever it is you're doing. You're doing it for a good reason, and that you have to accept that there will be those naysayers who will criticise. That is going to happen, but just be strong and stay focused, and positive things will come of it. If you're doing something good, just have faith in that and trust your own instincts. That's my advice.
That's sound advice, absolutely. don't let what other people may or may not say dissuade you, because you just can't predict the future, can you?
Oh no, that's right. You can't. And anyway, I don't have any regrets whatsoever. Look, to be honest, I've even had friends turn against me. So that was very disheartening. That has happened, unfortunately. But now I know what they're really like, and yes, but you've just got to push through that. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think you're amazing. So, and I know there are a lot
you.
Of other people. I know there are a lot of other people, particularly people that you've helped. And you were talking about finding different angles to the story. And I know one of those angles was a lady who approached you who had bought a house. Her name's Annie. And,
yes.
You know, and she appeared on the news, and
yes.
Also was interviewed on the local Triple M radio station. So for people like Annie who will be saying, you know, hey, this is a great thing that you're doing. Let's talk about those different angles. So you went in with, hey, I've got a petition. I want to change the property laws. So other angles did you come up with?
Okay. Well, I think for the first news program, the angle was that cosmetic cover-ups, I think it was, that was the title of it. So it was about sellers just knowing that they've got issues, but quickly getting tradesmen in to cover up defects. For instance, it could be a leaking roof, and what would be obvious would be a big water stain on the ceiling. And instead of the, you know, disclosing, telling the buyer that there are issues with the roof, which could cost $20,000 to replace, I'm just going to paint over that water stain on the ceiling, and hopefully the buyer won't ever find out, or you know, the inspector they get won't do a thorough inspection to uncover that. So you know, so that's what that news program was about, just cosmetic cover-ups it was called, and those sorts of things where a tradesman can quickly be brought in to cover up, and the law allows that with the buyer beware. Unless the buyer finds out, they can get away with it. So that was the first angle for that news story. And then I think the second angle was actually having people who have been burnt and ended up going and having to live in a lemon house with their family and coping with that, and how they had to actually accept that they've got no rights against that dishonest seller, and what it was like. So that was a different angle, I guess, where this innocent buyer, a single mother, had to cope with buying a lemon house. And so that was another angle. An angle for a newspaper that was totally different again was I think it was looking more at, do you really know the history of the house? For instance, was there a murder that took place, or, you know, asbestos in the ceilings, you know, things like that. So more of a, there's something evil lurking in the house. Well, because of buyer beware, you may not know the history. So that was a different angle yet again, you know, but we could still bring in the buyer beware, old-fashioned law, and therefore there's good reason to look at changing that law. So there's that protection for the buyer.
Well, that's excellent. From one topic, you came up with 4 to 5 different angles, which allowed you to not only just go to your local newspaper, but the national newspaper, 2 news stations, a national TV current affair program, radio, property magazines. So you've got 7 or 8 different media outlets interested in what you were doing, because you went, how else can I change this? Trish, I just want to give our listeners the opportunity to call in case they'd ask you some questions. So if you're listening in North America, and you would like to ask Trish some questions, because what she's talking about and the process she's gone through to get PR is really universal, the number is 646-668-2081. So that's 646-668-2081. If you're listening in Australia, just PM me, Annette Densham, on Facebook, and we'll answer your questions. But we're going to keep talking, because, like, Trish has got some incredibly valuable lessons for even the newest person to business, or the newest person to PR and raising your profile, or a profile of an issue or a topic or a mission that you've got. So, Trish, you've received all of this media. What have you done with it? Yeah. Have you shared it anywhere to continue to amplify your message?
Oh, definitely. Why wouldn't I? Yes, I've actually built a media profile now on my website, and I think that looks quite impressive now. And also on Facebook, I've been able to continually update on Facebook, and LinkedIn is another area, and I've been able to promote all that media exposure to our database, our client database, through e-newsletters. So definitely I've been able to use all that media exposure and build my profile. And that reinforces, I guess, myself as an expert in the industry. It's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to go and have a look at Trisha's media page, if you just go, it's buildingpro.com.au.
Yes, that's right.
And you'll see how she's laid out, like, all of the media that she's received, and it looks truly impressive. Like, Trish, you have done an incredible job from someone 12 months ago who went, well, I don't know, I'm a property lawyer and I've started my own business, to you've accumulated an impressive amount of media through your page.
Thanks, Annette. And you know what? It actually then attracts more media. And I've got journalists now coming to me and wanting to know if there are any updates. So it's incredible that it does snowball, and it gives you credibility with other journos, and because they're always looking for news. So it can really lead to bigger and better things and more media contacts. So I know now that, yeah.
Tell me, if one of the challenges, like, I know you're a really busy person, you're running a business with your husband Andrew, and yes, so your time is tight. How did you manage those out of the blue calls that said, hey, we want to talk to you in an hour, we're sending a camera crew around? How did you manage that? Did you say no to any interviews?
No way, no. I would not say no, I just would make it happen. thank goodness I've got a good team working at Building Pro, and they understood the importance of it too. So they were on standby, and I was able to rely on my team to just take over. And I just knew how important, how beneficial having good media is, not only for the cause going further, but for our business. So I always wanted to be ready and prepared and professional. And we just made it happen. You just have to go with it, go with the flow, and thank goodness my business is it runs virtually, so it's all cloud based. So it that also helps because I've got my admin staff who work remotely from the comfort of their own homes, and so that helped me. I could just quickly delegate, and so I was lucky that I had that in place. Yes.
I think, just going back a little bit, looking at the media that you've received, I know that, and this is where, like, a lot of people will say, I want to be on national television, and you're thinking, well, they kind of don't know who you are unless you've got a big story. Like, your story was big, but even getting the interest of TV and radio initially was a little challenging. Like, I remember, I was doing the sending out of the media release for you, and the TVs just weren't interested to start with. But once you got that article in the local paper and in the Courier Mail, they started to stand up and go, oh, hang on, there's something in this, didn't they?
Yes. That's right. I think they had to see it somewhere first. And thank goodness, yeah, the local newspaper was interested, and I'm grateful for that. And it was a very professional interview. The reporter was very interested and very concerned, and she interviewed me for a good hour or so, and I think because of that in-depth professional journalism, I think that's when the other journos took notice. So yes, I think it's got to start. It's got to get out there somewhere first for it to take off. I never thought it would go to, you know, the national TV shows, but yeah, it happened, and I think it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they call it, so when a story runs in a local paper and then gets picked up by others in that media organisation's chain, so for instance, this is News Limited, it's called syndication, and you just can never underestimate that power of having your story syndicated across multiple outlets that you didn't even have to go to get that story run. They just share it, because when radio and TV are looking for good stories for the day, the first thing that they do in the morning is they check out the newspapers. So if you can get your story in a newspaper and it's a good story, it's a solid story, it's got a good angle, and the journalist can see that you're an articulate professional person that's going to deliver great information, is that they're going to come to you and say, hey, you're the person that we need to talk to about this. And did I see on social media, Trish, that you Building Pro recently won an award, or was that for you?
For me as well. There were three. Three
congratulations.
Awards. Oh, thank you. And you know what? I think it was the media exposure that certainly helped. I think having that recognition in the media helped me to stand out amongst the others. And it's just amazing how beneficial it can be to be picked up by the media, and then you're seen as a leader. You're doing something for the industry, and then that can be recognised in the way of awards as well. So I definitely think that had something to do with it. But you know, I think our business is also a fantastic business. We add value, so it's definitely a bit of both. So thank you.
You're welcome. I think you've got to give credit where credit's due. So what's next for you in terms of your PR journey? So once the lawyers and the academics have had a look at what you're proposing and commented on it, and it goes to Parliament and it gets passed or it doesn't get passed, what type of media would you be looking at generating through that?
Well, I have had the reporters from the television shows let me know that they want to be the first to hear what the outcome is. So I think it will probably, when it is announced, and the Attorney General will be announcing it in the early new year, the outcome. So this will most probably make it to television, the announcement, and from there, if for some reason it doesn't go anywhere in Parliament, I'll be promoting the national petition. So if the state one that's in Queensland Parliament right now, if that doesn't go to pass the laws, then I won't give up. I will go the national petition on the change.org petition that I've got going, and because I just think it has to change, and it will change. The laws will change eventually. They have to. We have to keep up with the rest of the world. So, yeah, I will still continue with approaching the media, definitely.
Well, you are now your own publicity genie, so you now have those powers that you can continue to use over and over again. What other, so outside of your mission to change the law, what other applications can you see for PR within your business? So, and when I'm talking about PR, I don't just mean the media, but social media, blogging, awards, and all of those tools that you can use to draw attention to the awesome things that you do.
Okay. I just like to educate. I believe that I want to share the knowledge of, you know, what we as experts do and how we can help other, property investors or property buyers to ensure that they have quality buildings. And so it's about education, and I will continue to do that on our website. Blogging, I think, is important. And we have our e-newsletters and the Facebook, LinkedIn, and networking. As much as possible, I think education is very important. Don't keep that knowledge to yourself, and help other businesses. If we can help even businesses that are similar to ours, that's what I believe in. We've written a book. We have a book as well, and it's called Building Success: Why Property Investors Need Building Inspections. So, yeah, that's what I think is important. If you can share your knowledge to help others, so that's where I see us going.
Absolutely. I think that's, to me, one of the biggest things I found working in my business is that people really don't care about a business. They just care about the people in the business, and they care that you care. Now, that sounds like a bit of a Dr. Seuss tongue twister. But when you show people that you want to, you're looking out for them, and you're trying to do the best by them, and you're working towards making life better for them, then you kind of bring people along on the journey, don't you?
Yes, for sure. And people want to know that you care about them, that you have their interests at heart. It's not about making money. I don't see that. That's not my goal. I just want to help others and use, you know, the expertise that we have to ensure that, you know, they're making an informed decision. And I think that's we've got to let go of just making money for your business. It's got to go beyond that. You've got to have a deeper purpose. And that's what I believe in, having that overarching desire to help others buy better quality buildings. That's what our purpose is at Building Pro. So if other businesses can articulate what their ultimate purpose is, then you'll make money anyway. If you're aligning with that purpose in what you do, the rewards will come, and that's what I've worked out in our business.
What a great philosophy to have in business.
Oh, thank you.
In terms of ongoing media for you, what are the things that you still feel that you have to learn?
Well, I have learned that I need an expert on my side. I need a PR expert to help. I'm a busy person, and sure, you can read a book, you can go online and get some guidance about what to do in PR, but, you know, time is money. And I just realised that I'm just going to get someone who on board who can quickly understand what it is that I need to do as far as publicity goes, and will get it straight away and will know from their experience how best to go about it, have a strategy in place, know who to target, what sort of message will work. And I think that that is what I'll be doing. I'll just be getting someone on board who can just guide me, from their expertise will know what to do and the best strategy moving forward. And that's what I've learned. You can't do it all on your own. It's too important. You can only go so far. So that's what I've learned. Yeah, get an expert.
Well, that bodes really well for someone like me. get the
expert.
Exactly. If I was going to sell my house or buy a house and get someone in to inspect it for, you know, damage or pests, then I would get the expert in, because I don't know what I'm looking for, and I can look at something and say, oh yeah, that looks okay. But when you've got that expertise and that's what you've been trained to do, you have that discerning professional eye. So yeah, that's a good point. And I'm all about empowering people to do it themselves. But I think when they reach your level where you've received a great deal of media and now you're starting to stand out as the expert in your field, although you already were, but in the eyes of the media, yes, having someone to support you in that strategy and in your mission is very important, because you can miss opportunities, can't you, if you don't keep your eye on the ball.
Oh, yes. Too easy to do that, especially if you are a busy person running your own business. When you do run a small business like mine, you're juggling a lot of different aspects, and PR and online marketing, social media, that's a very important element of running a business these days. But there are also other issues that you also have to be aware of and on top of. So yes, you can't do everything, and that's why I think, sure, You might be able to do one or two things on your own and read a bit about it, and you might get good luck. But if you want to do it properly, just get an expert. You were so good. And I remember when I first came to you, I wasn't even sure if I should link this campaign with my business. I wasn't sure. I thought, well, what this campaign is about, I thought it was a separate thing. It was something for the community, and I thought perhaps I shouldn't relate my business to that maybe people might view that wrongly, that I'm just about trying to get more business, more clients coming to me. And so I wasn't sure if I could link it, but you said most definitely it has to go together. And so thanks for that advice.
That's okay. What was important to me working with you was to establish you as the expert. So and the angles that you came up were brilliant, because they weren't all about you, but the person speaking was the expert. And that's where the media then go and look and say, this person is obviously not all about promoting themselves. They're about a higher purpose, or wanting to arm and equip people with the right information. So they look at, you know, if we go back to what we were talking about in terms of they don't want to promote your business, but if they know that you understand what makes news and how it works, then they want to work with people who get that. And it's not hard to get that, is it?
No. Not at all, no. And I could use, I guess, my past experience running a business for 14 years that was important for them to know, and my background in property law. So it does establish credibility, and it means that they're more likely to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you want them to help you raise awareness and bring attention to what it is that you're doing.
Mm. Exactly, that's right. And so I think it all worked really well, and I hope that I can help other people, understand it's a different world. The media is a different world, and there's a lot to learn. But if you are genuine about your story, then the media will listen to that, and they can be on your side. And there's lots of benefits. Lots.
Yeah, they're not just about chasing the bad guys down the street with the camera, are they?
No, although a lot are, but that's true. That's true. They just want they just want to know that your story is genuine, and then they'll listen. Yeah,
that's at the end of the day is all that any of us want. So Trish, we're almost at the end of the program now, and I'd like to say congratulations. You know, Trish has never been on an hour radio program before, and I think that you've done a fantastic job. And I really appreciate you sharing your practical first-hand knowledge, because it's easy to get experts on the show who have, you know, been doing this for years. But it was important to me that people hear from someone who has been at the coalface and been on that learning curve, and some of the things that you've had to adapt and to change and to learn through your 12-month journey. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Annette. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be on your show. It's been great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, before we go, I'm wondering if you can leave our listeners with any last-minute advice or tips on something that may help them as we go into the festive season, particularly in Australia. We all kind of wind down and go on holidays. So what would you suggest to people if they were thinking about ramping up their marketing in the new year? Just one or two things that they could do to make a difference in their business using PR.
Okay. I think if you can just, especially now that we're coming up to Christmas and holidays, if you can just take a step back from your business and look beyond your business, look at the industry that you're in and see if there are any problems out there, any issues that you think are not quite right, that could do with some changes to improve the industry perhaps. If you can do that and have a good hard look at the industry you're in and find some creative solutions that you may be able to offer, and if you can do that, that would be something that you could go to the media with and look at ways to make some improvements in the industry that you're in. And then if perhaps that could be something that you could get good publicity for and will help your business. So I think if more people did that, then I think there'll be it'll be a better world in the end. So that's something just off the top of my head.
No, that's awesome, awesome. I know I've put you on the spot a couple of times today, but you've done an amazing job. Trish Mackie-Smith from Building Pro, thank you so much for joining us. And have a great day, everyone. Tune in for the next show, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Take care for now.
Thanks, Annette. Thank you.
Fire Radio.